This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good morning, Revolution Radio. Long time no here. This is your hostess, Kelsey Sweet, with my program, Cultivating Consciousness. And... good morning. We're going to pretend that this is my intro, and my intro played, and life is grand, and everything is wonderful, and as we shift and move forward into the future, I'm just going to pretend that everything's working out the way that I want it to. I'm going to fake it till I make it. Let's see. Where are we at? Revolution Radio, Cultivating Consciousness.
Good morning, Revolution Radio.
Let's see. Ah, I'm loop feedback in myself.
This is your hostess, Kelsey Sweet, with
hold on.
My program, hold on. Cultivating Consciousness.
There you are. Okay, there's my loop. There's my feedback. Now I'm not going to hear myself anymore. Like I said, we're keeping it perfect over here. We're cultivating. Sowing some seeds. Might be dropping seeds. That's all right. Let's see. See if I can get to the chat room. I'm in there. Okay, cool. I can hear me now, too. Well, I can't hear me now, so that's probably the better thing. Well, let's see here. Let's catch up. So, this would be, as far as the program goes, Women's Energy Week 5 week. And week 4 I missed. Four's unlucky number for me or something. And in the midst of doing this women's energy thing, like, things are just kicking up. Let's talk a little bit about the radio show. Let's see. I think everything's all smoothed out. Revolution Radio is your number one internet radio station. We've been around for a long time. I'm almost at my 1 year mark here at the show, which is cool. Because there's so much that has happened in the last year and so much growth that has happened in the last year, not just for Revolution Radio, but for myself. Revolution Radio has gone through some big changes in the last year. Listener-funded, listener-supported. So if you get an opportunity and you get a chance, go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com or find us on Patreon and find a way that you can help support all of the amazing, wonderful... Do I call us volunteers? We don't get paid to do this. We show up because we want to, right? We show up because the information is there and it needs to be disseminated. It needs to be put out there. So here we are. We're showing up. Hopefully soon I get to show up with a new intro. That'd be pretty sweet. No pun intended. If you want to find out more about me and who I am, the things that I do, you can go into kelseysweet.com. and poke around and see some of my projects, see my portfolio, some of the work that I do. I'm an artist, psychologist, I'm a researcher in alternative health and consciousness. I'm currently in the midst of trying to figure out how to get this freaking PhD knocked out through the California Institute of Integral Studies. And what is it? Oh, yeah, in transformative studies. I'm a transformer. I did my master's program through them a few years ago, too. Same program, transformative leadership, right? And so, what the heck have I done with that in my life? I'm still trying to figure it out. A lot of the work that I do as an artist, as a psychologist, as a researcher, is centered around sexual assault, violence, women's rights, that sort of a thing. And then diving into it, like the spectrum of opportunities to like talk about difficult things, you know, I mean, it's unending. So here we are. I'm trying to get focused, and I'm trying to get present and all that too. I've got a couple of distractions going on currently, so I'm going to ground in, get myself centered as we start talking about some of this stuff. I think I'm just going to kind of dive in, because I have so much on my mind, and in just in the last couple of weeks, trying to, like, put all these pieces together, right? Dude, it's been interesting. It's definitely been interesting. So this theme of women's energy has spun out from a course that I'm taking through one of the psychic institutes here in town. It's a women's energy meditation course, and I'm finding in the midst of this women's energy course, I'm juggling a lot and getting present, getting focused. Like, it's challenging, right? I don't know if it's just because I'm a woman and I like to multitask, or if I'm because I'm a young mother in the midst of all these things and transforming and trying to figure it all out, if it's just that I like to juggle and do a lot of different things at one time. It's an integral aspect, I guess. Integrating, pulling the pieces together from different sides and so on and so forth. I feel like the more I dive into it, the less that I know. So I've got to give myself the benefit of the doubt, right? And then just kind of go for it. And then I find in a lot of this, like, the main key factor, the things that I've been focusing on or centered on, is confidence. And I've meditated on the idea of confidence for years and what that looks like. And, right, like, how do we show up as our true self and our true power? You know, how do we be the best that we can be? You know? Let's see. I'm just kind of like poking into the bottom thing. In Reno, there's lots of nice guys there. That's where I'm at. I'm functioning partially out of Reno, Nevada. It's early, early in the morning for me here at the Guru Hour. If you go to Revolution Radio and you check out the Studio A slot, because that's where we are, Studio A, you'll see that I've got the 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. slot every Wednesday mornings for cultivating consciousness. I do my best to show up every Wednesday. It doesn't always happen. Thank you to Revolution Radio and facilitating and holding space for me to process and to show up and to talk and have these conversations. And I greatly appreciate it. Just the connections and the information and the tools that I've gathered from this process for myself, I mean, definitely are invaluable. So I would hope that for the listeners and the people who follow along, same thing. I hope that the information here is invaluable. It helps to shift your life in radical ways, in good ways, because we need it. There's a lot of really just bizarre, crappy, crazy weird things out there, all the darkness that is starting to surface through these shifting times. We've got our catalyst in the office, right, are catalysts for revolution, if we want to call them anything. And with that, we're seeing this alchemical effect on humanity at the moment, where there's so much that we can either do or not do as a species, and it feels like this is a tipping point, right? We're kind of anything that we do. let's see. Dun, dun, dun. I just see this thing. You mean you haven't found a guy to pay for your paper mill classes? No, I've done this all on my own. I made a pretty conscious decision several years ago, and at the beginning of college and at the beginning of all of it, because I did my MA or my bachelor's through the University of Nevada, Reno, where I'm at, and I spent a lot of time in school. I spent a little bit of time in art school in North Hollywood, and I made the decision then to invest my time and my energy into school and into business and into self-growth and not into relationships. I've never had much luck with guys, which is probably why I'm in this women's energy class, trying to figure out how to, whatever, I don't know. I don't know what it is about me and men. Maybe there will be a show where we can talk about my personal love life, but at this point, that's just not going to happen. And I've always been of the mindset, too, that I really don't want a guy to have to pay for my school. That's not to say that, like, the right person's out there wouldn't take the opportunity. But at the same time, I mean, this is not what I'm looking for. Confidence and competence. Well, I would like to be confident enough in my competence to show up and to do all this. Competent, there, definitely competent. But confident in that competence, sure, why not? We'll just say I've already got it. Because I think I just need to give myself the benefit of the doubt there. But to this women's energy class, at the beginning of last week, or last week's focus, what was the theme that came up? Oh yeah, like female competition. And from that, like, stemmed the idea of jealousy. So, having this, I don't know, just this focus on, like, why females are competitive, why males are competitive, why there's, like, the toxicity within that. I don't know. Let's see. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked because I got the chat box open here. It's like 3:00 in the morning for me, and I've been running off just a couple hours sleep the last few days, and I've been so focused on paperwork and some logistical stuff, but yeah. I'm reading along the comments as I'm trying to, like, talk about this too, and I just find that there's some interesting energies coming out for me. So again, I'm going to get myself grounded and get myself centered, talk a little bit about why I do this show, and then I'll dive into the meats of the theme, I suppose. So as far as cultivating consciousness goes, I've created this space out of meditation or out of, like, putting energy into communicating and communicating truth, and this opportunity presented itself by Bridget Lynn Dolgoff, who's also got another show, who's been involved with Revolution Radio for several years. Just been just a blessing, an amazing opportunity to, I guess, be able to hear myself and think out loud, but in a way where I'm held accountable. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Okay, I think what I'm going to do, just so I can focus and so I can center myself here, I'm going to just kind of switch over the tab for a moment to not look at the chat room stuff until I can get myself focused. Because, like, the first thing that's coming to mind, like, anytime I've ever, like, met a guy or tried to date a guy, or, like, it just seems like guys always think that what I want is money. And I don't, like, I never ask anybody to do anything for me. Like, I grew up with a single mom, and I've just been taught that if you want to get something done, you do it yourself, right? You don't rely on, or you don't depend on other people to do it for you. And, I don't know, the government's been paying a lot of my education. Thank you very much, America. The government and the people and our taxes, maybe. I don't know. I don't even want to get into student loan debt at the moment. But yeah, no, if I think I would, like, wet my pants if some guy was like, hey, let me take care of all of these things for you. No holds barred. I want to do it out of, like, love and compassion and no big deal because I think you're worth it. I think you're valued. And I just haven't come across that type of person. And I don't know if it's, like, something about me, so, like, what about my own feminine energy, that independentness, or I think a lot of it's just lack of confidence. Again, like, a lot of my work in advocacy and artwork and work within psychology, all of that, it's all, like, trickled down into sexual assault advocacy, and that comes out of personal experience. So when it comes to, like, getting close to men and allowing people to do that for me, and there's just, like, whew, I don't know, intimacy issues, maybe. I chatted very briefly, like, in one of my comment threads through Facebook. I do a lot of, like, social media work through Facebook, so if you want to find me and chat with me and, like, follow me along outside of Revolution Radio, it's probably one of the better ways of figuring out who I am and what it is that I do, or, like, connecting with me. But yeah, just Kelsey Sweet, where you can find me there. But a lot of the work that she does is centered on intimacy, and, like, I found this out after posting something about, like, child pornography, just, like, things that show up through Google, like, or if, like, you type in certain keywords as far as, like, movie, film, TV, like, see what pops up as far as images go. Like, it's just gross and it's just disgusting. So in terms of, like, advocating for sexual rights and that sort of thing, you know, as an artist, as a psychologist, it's all, like, kind of trickled down into, like, the theme of these women's energy classes, at least for the last couple of weeks. So I'm processing a lot of energy at the same time, so bear with me here. There's a point to it. But the way I like to approach these shows is through, like, an open channeling form, right? As a psychologist, as an artist, as a whatever the heck I am, a lot of the work that I do is intuitive readings as well. I don't like to call myself a psychic. I'm a psychologist and an empirically based research scientist, so it's really difficult to call myself psychic. But when we start to open our minds and open our ideas into the realm of consciousness and what consciousness means in terms of co-creating a conscious creative community, there's a lot of leeway to take your artistry into, like, forming the canvas of your life, or using your life as your instrument of creation, right? Because that's what it is. Like, we are creators. As much as we have the capacity to destroy, men and women come together to ultimately create or procreate, right? For whatever reason, we want to keep the human species rolling. There's good people out there. There really are. And there are a lot of bad people out there. But there's been this ongoing battle of good versus evil for all of time, perhaps. Well, how do you know what's good? How do you know what's bad? How do you know? You know, I don't know. I looked into the chat room again, and I saw the little bit by Siri Sunflower. Good morning. Where, yes, it seems men actively target women like us, right, in order to dim our lights And when it comes to being a target of that light being dim, I mean, I've had, like, men come at me from so many different angles when it comes to assault. Sexual, physical, like, verbal, throughout most of my life. And then, like, any time it seems like I stand up to or speak my truth or just say something assertive, it's registered as some sort of attack or a threat or something, and I don't quite understand that part yet. Except for, like, when it comes to the energetic level, you know? So back to this women's energy class and running energy and trying to understand the ethereal connection, right? Like that mind, body, spirit, but the, like the metaphors and the archetypes or the visuals or the creative way of playing into energy, right? Gives us some helpful tools as far as advancing recovery and like recoding information into our brains in order to make radical advances. It can be very therapeutic if consciously done right. But at the same time, within the energetics, right, if you're not energetically guarded or if you don't have your practice full in suit, then you get these, like the energy vampires, right? You get the people that come out and just try to, and it's taking me some time to really understand what those energetic boundaries are, like learning to trust your intuition and to trust those like female gut things, because there's just been so much doubt and self-doubt. And I think that's socially taught and culturally taught, you know, as women, like if you have all these ideas, we're just taught to doubt ourselves. We're taught to play small. We're taught to not want to stand out, not want to stand up, because when we do, right, like there's this like violent recourse that is thrown back. And in some of my research they've been doing the last couple of days, I came across a page about bullies and about like in regards to lawyers and lawyer bullies, right? And how female lawyers are bullied by male lawyers, or there's this little bit that I picked up on where as a man, like a man competing against another man, there's this more socially acceptable means of like bringing it down to fisticuffs, right? Where it just becomes more about like brute strength, you know, like, you know, as it was said in the program before, you know, mine's bigger than yours. I can hit harder. Like it's all about like who can outmuscle the other. So when you're a female, quote unquote, playing around in a man's world or whatever, like again, there's the social stigmas or just the biological differences where like it's an unfair fight for a man to hit a woman. So a man in regards to a woman bullies her differently. Like the tactics are different. The like oftentimes it's name calling and belittling, and just through an argument or just like I posted something again on Facebook about AOC and how she had stood up to Ted Yoho, you know, cussing her out like on the steps, and in being as objective as I could in this thread, you know, of course, like there's a couple guys that had come out, and one of them goes into talking. What did he call me? Oh, condescending twat. It is just like, okay, you're just reiterating the whole point here. Like, so there's a level of bullying that occurs, and through this thread about the, you know, and like reading this page about this, the argument was to say that when a man does that, it's more equivalent to like sexual harassment, right? Because they're harassing you because you're a woman, or degrading and demeaning you because you're a woman. And that's, you know, I mean, it's sexist, it's sexual harassment. I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know, like, as women, like, we just, we're taught to take it. That there's just certain acceptable ways that that's the way that it's supposed to be. But although you know deep down in your gut, in the bottom of your heart, that that's wrong, you're mean, cruel, and indifferent, like, how do you approach it? How do you make changes? How do you make difference? Other than, you know, be the change you want to see in the world, lead by example, so on and so forth. Stay grounded. Don't take that kind of crap personal. You know, or just even this evening, the defensiveness where it just seems when not placating to that, oh, dare I say it, the masculine fragility, there's that recourse and they attack back or somebody, you know, is like, I don't know, I don't want to feed into it, I don't want to feed into the energy. Let me pull myself back. But yeah, differences. One thing that's coming to mind as a side thread and watching the conversations and stuff like that. What do we say? I'm jumping ahead in, like, conversation here. Because I see, yeah, that, oh yeah, there's violence from women to men as well. Oh, because this guy, right? He's like, what, you don't think, like, men get raped too? It's like, of course they do. Of course men are hurt by women. You know, men are hurt by other men. Men are hurt by women. You know, statistically speaking, when it comes to, like, issues like rape, it's something like 1 in 4, 1 in 5, depending where you're pulling your statistics from. But, like, 1 in 4 women experience rape in their life, as opposed to, like, 1 in 71 men that experience it. So when we start talking about men versus women, I like to be really picky and choosy, or like be conscious about the words, and not so much to make it about men and women, but to make it about masculine and feminine, because there are men who have feminine traits, there are women who have masculine traits. And so when we're talking about the male and female energies, we as either men or women contain both male and female energy within us. And to try to find the balance between that and how to navigate that energetically. That's kind of what this woman's energy class is talking about. You know, how much female energy are you running versus how much male energy are you running? And do we make it 50-50 within ourselves? Or if I'm a female, do I make my primary energy 70%, whatever? Or is it dependent upon the interaction of the individual that you're working with? You know, are you trying to find a natural harmony of balance? Like, if the person you're talking to is running, you know, 60% female energy, are you going to meet that with 40% in, like, female energy, and so on and so forth? And I don't know at this point if there's, like, a right or a wrong answer to that. It just, or, like, should we, as females, run 100% female energy, and then men run 100% men, like, male energy? Oh, I don't know. Then, you know, what if you're a transsexual, and how do you deal with that? It's difficult. So, I don't know. Tricky subject. I don't like diving too deep into the heavy stuff with it. I don't know, like, I want to find a way to lighten the load and to lighten the pressure. And I think that's why, like, the theme of bullying came up, because it takes it away from, I think, some more extreme terminology, perhaps, right? Like, not everybody's been bullied in life, or, like, it just shows up in different ways, right? But, yeah, I don't know. There's just, globally, if we're to generalize everything, women are far more oppressed than men, right? They were in a patriarchy where shifting from the Piscean age into the Aquarian age. So we're shifting from a masculine age into a feminine age. So the energetic level there is very different. And knowing that that feminine energy has been under attack, or knowing that, like, even if we just look at the laws, right, the laws that were created by men, we're approaching 100 years of, like, women being able to vote, right? That's not very long. Like, women haven't been able to vote very long. And if we go back in time, you know, we start looking at some of the laws and the regulations or the expectations within marriage, right? Women so often, maybe even still in many places, are perceived to be property. You know, so I think I get really frustrated when the argument of, like, well, men go through it too comes up. Because, well, of course they do. Duh. And I want to have empathy and compassion for that. Because I feel like when we start to focus on the female energies and men feel left out, like, or they feel under attack, or, like, they feel like they're hated. And that's not what it's about, you know? Like, legally, if you go back far enough in time, it was expected that you were, like, men were to beat their wives. You know, that's where the rule of thumb came from. You know, so long as you hit her with something not no bigger than your thumb, you're all right. Like, your wife step out of line, and, like, you just fucking hit her. I don't know. That's the answer. Not. So it's difficult. My heart goes out to women, and the women who are like, the women who are abusive, or even think, like, with the whole, like, Epstein thing, right? Like, it's not just men on the list, right? It's, like, not just men taking advantage of children. There are women who have taken advantage of children as well. Like, where does that come from? Where does that come from? It's so gross, and it's so dark, and I don't know why people even want to go into that direction, right? Human trafficking. Just selling people to people for exploitative uses, either sexually or otherwise. It's gross. This energy is, it's here, it's in our world, and we're so blinded to it through media, through cultural expectations, through families, you know, because not everything is bad. But when the shit hits the fan, I mean, that stuff scatters everywhere. We all feel it in some sort of way. We all are affected by it. It's the collective conscious, right? Like, anything that I go through and anything that I experience is going to have an impact on the rest of the world. So, like, the same for you. You know, anything that you go through, anything that you experience has this resonance and has a rippling effect. Anything you think, right, is, it goes up into that collective conscious. It goes up into that morphic resonance field. It goes into this area and this idea that we are all one and share these concepts. I know. And I think one of the things that I try to get my art students to be mindful of and to be aware of is where they're sourcing their energy from. Where they're sourcing their ideas from, you know, like, where'd you get that idea? And if we're talking about energetics, then we're talking about the chakras, then we're talking about the auric field or the biofield, you know, the electromagnetic frequencies that we give off, the light body. I like the term of the human. I have an online course, How to Be a Human, HUEMYN. I'm playing around with it still, and I'm piloting it and trying to figure out the best way to market it, right? But how to be an HUEMYN, or how to be a light body. Not necessarily a light worker, but maybe. It's all lingo, it's whatever you want to call it. How to recognize yourself as this energetic powerhouse, and how to identify the different centers, right? And to understand where that energy is going and where that energy is coming from. And if we're sourcing in our energy from the collective or through our crown chakra or through these higher dimensions and these higher dynamics, right? Through the spiritual world, whatever you want to call it, the Christ consciousness, whatever that is, right? Like, then we're pulling in things that are new to this material world, new to us, perhaps. Maybe there's other dimensional beings outside of this that thrive in that capacity already. Or I don't know, maybe there's extraterrestrials or aliens out there who already understand these more telepathic or energetic dynamics, who have been able to create these worlds and these experiences or these conscious experiences that far exceed, right? Like what we can conceptually imagine for ourselves. And I think that there's just a dumbing down of people, right? The sheeple, we the sheeple, the robots and the zombies. The sheeple, the zombies, and the robots. I wrote a paper about that in grad school, right? And just where do we fit into the matrix? Where do we fit into the midst of it? How do we wake up out of that? We educate ourselves. We talk about truth. We stand in truth. We stand in power. We stand in our light, right? We emanate and we radiate what is true, and we hope and wish for the best. Pray for the best. Pray for the highest good of all in every situation, right? But again, knowing when to trust your gut and when to go with all of these things. And so what I wanted to focus on, the theme for this show, we're already 40 minutes in, just about, is that female competition and jealousy. Like, what, like the function of it? Why do we have all of it? I don't even know if I want to get into like the science part of it, but just more so to bring our awareness to the fact that it exists, that we have these energies within us, or maybe we don't. I went to an intuitive reader a number of years ago who had said to me, that I don't have a jealous bone in my body, but as somebody who's very spongy, right, like anytime I'm feeling a feeling or feeling that jealous feeling or whatever, it's probably because that other person is having that feeling towards me as well. I don't know that I quite believe that, because I know that the times where I felt that, or where there's just been, like, you know, there's a difference between jealousy and envy, right? Or the wanting of what somebody else has, or the wanting to be like, or just not feeling good enough. It comes out of a place of insecurity and not being in your own power and feeling like you're worthless and feeling like you don't have anything and believing that somebody is always going to be better somehow or some way. Or like when it comes to relationships and sexuality, right? There's the topic of porn addiction that had come out, right? So like, how are you supposed to feel about yourself in the context of a relationship if the person you're with would prefer to watch porn, or would to hold you to the expectation or the standard to show up like a porn star, right? And then if you can't live up to somebody else's expectations, or if there's trauma involved in some sort of a way, then there's a backlash. So it just, I don't know. It gets complicated. I just looked up and said, why not go to massage school? Well, at this point, I don't know. It's that energetic thing. Like, I myself, like, I don't necessarily like to be touched. I'm sensitive, right? Like, so there just has to be, like, an explicit consent. Or, like, if somebody, like, with Reiki, too, like, I feel really weird with Reiki. I don't like people coming into my energetic space and moving stuff around. And but as a healing arts practitioner, right, or through some of the experiences that I've gone through, or like work that I had done with Bridget and work that I had done with other alternative type healers, right, it seems like I can think of a handful of masseuses or massage artists who have taken that practice steps further, right, into the energetic world. And so, again, there's that energetic exchange there. And in times where I've experimented with either like moving somebody else's energy from the energetic level or from the physical level, be it a massage or something, like, I don't like the word massage. I don't. It just seems like it's got all, I don't know, like all this other stuff kind of stuck to it. Or in my own personal experience, it just seems like, especially with guys, there, when it comes to massage, there's like a connection to sexuality with it. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna recenter and refocus and get back on track, because I wanted to talk about jealousy and like women not liking women, right? Or like that female competition. There's always the standard of having to be better, whether it be a porn star or model or like the movie stars, right? Like, there's all these expectations put on women to show up a certain way. And if you don't show up in that expected way, there's a lot of recourse from that. There's backlash, or there's just like the social stigmatizing. You know, if you're not fitting into the little box, then people don't, they're not conditioned to respond to you. So if you're not going along with the pattern, right, and you behave a different way outside of what is socially acceptable, people then are faced with an opportunity to become conscious, right? So if your conditioning pattern has taught you to do this at this, and somebody interacts in a different way or in a novel way, then you're put into a position where you have to make a new decision, or you have to behave in a new way. And if we're not taught emotional intelligence, if we're not taught empathy, or if we're not taught the basics of behavior, right, then it's difficult to interpret or figure out what a person's motives are for that, right? Then we start going into our own conditioning patterns and responding or reacting from either a place of fear or just from not present time, right? Either like something that had happened in the past or something that, you know, could possibly happen in the future, and we get into like the anxiety, or we get into depression, that sort of stuff, because we're not centered and we're not focused in present time. So, I don't know. I think more than anything, like when it comes to education and when it comes to like a lot of these themes and the way I approach everything, I approach it as art. I'm an artist. And I take a lot of liberties, creative liberties, as an artist to show up in meaningful ways, to show up in scientifically valid ways. or to show up in ways that are conscious, right? Because if we're not, then we're perpetuating this competitive nature, and especially between women. I think we're just taught to not trust each other or to be cliquey or to have to compete for men in some form or another. So there's like underhandedness that happens or jealousy that happens or just women not supporting women. And I remember growing up young and being a tomboy and hanging out with the boys because, I mean, even still now, like, a lot of women don't like me. And that might be kind of a general statement because I do have amazing women friends. Older friends, younger friends. I have a tendency to gravitate towards older friends and to gravitate towards older women, the crones, right? For wisdom, for inspiration. Because I've learned over the years that in getting close to men or trying to play into that, then it becomes more of like a physical domination sort of thing, or the sexualized part of it starts to play in some form or another. And it's, I think, difficult for some men to separate friendship from sexuality. Or there's just like the testosterone and the hormonal part of it that starts to play in. And I don't know, I'm just at a point in my life where I feel a lot better surrounded by women and women energy and wanting to heal women and wanting to create groups of strong women to help support each other. And I think that has been more valuable and more important to me at this point in my life, to surround myself by women that I'm inspired by and that who can teach me something new and uplift me, right? Because I think that there's strength in numbers. And if we can get on the same page and support each other in this sort of a thing, then maybe it would help to dissolve some of the competitive interactions between men and women, right? Like, who's better, men or women? It's not that one's better. We're both necessary. You kind of need one to have the other. You need the balance. The divine feminine and the divine masculine are so important. And it breaks my heart that when there's a critique towards a man from a woman, they take it as this, like, you know, angry, you know, whatever, you just hate, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, like, I love men, healthy men, and have great conversations with them and admire the strength and the fortitude and the thoughts of the good men in the world as much as I do as the women. And to bring those two groups together, to find the bridges between the men and the women and the masculine and the feminine, and to cultivate the positive energies from them and to focus on that instead of getting into the arguments and the competition or the assumption that, you know, oh, you just, it's about men or it's about women. It's not. It's about humanity as a whole. And because when it comes to jealousy too, jealousy shows up in a lot of ways. Whether it's like the concept of the penis envy of men or women being jealous of things that men can do, or vice versa, men being envious or jealous of women for being able to give birth, whatever that looks like, or to have certain things that men don't. Because as far as, like, there's a lot going forward for men's rights too, and social, for these socials and the social acceptability of, you know, who's supposed to do what and where, and on a biological level, what we're hardwired for is men and women are very different. Our group dynamics and the way that we interact are very different. But again, that's not to say that one can't take on the role of another. I was listening last week to, I think it was another like podcast or something, or something I heard on the radio about how like COVID stuff right now is having the biggest impact on like on moms. or especially on single moms, but on women. And, like, women with children having to give up their jobs, or, like, just the discrimination about women with children in working environments. And it's difficult. Our work environments are not set up to support women with children. You know, like, if you're in a meeting or if you're in a class setting or in a conference or something like that, and you've got a kid running around, it's seen as a distraction, you know, or if, like, the kid gets out of hand or if the kid wants something, and then you're seen as the distraction, and you're held fully accountable for your offspring, you know? And there's the nurturing component within the woman, right, to put the child first. And if the kid needs something or whatever, it's going to take the focus off of it. And in a work world or in a work setting, there's just not the forgiveness for it, or there's not the space to allow for that sort of thing. Right? The men are hunters, the women are gatherers. So I don't know. It just seems like if we can't honor our own sexuality for whatever it is, of course there's going to be this backlash or this, like, jealousy or this competitive nature towards the other sex, or even towards the same sex in regards to the other sex too. Like, men fighting for women, women fighting for men. I don't know, it just kind of boggles my mind. I don't really understand it. Or when it's come to other women or other people being jealous of me, I don't really get it, right? Because my internal dialogue is, it's self-deprecating, right? Like, I hold myself to the standard of the world outside of me that says that I can never be good enough, that I can never do enough to be enough. And so when I compare myself to others, right, like, my internal dialogue doesn't match another person's internal dialogue. And so when people wish they had something like I had or something like that, I'm like, no, you don't. you don't know what it even takes, or just, like, people's perceptions of who you are. It's difficult, right? You portray yourself a certain way, but we never really know what a person had to go through to get there. We don't really know what a person is thinking. So who knows? Yeah, I mean, self-respect is so important. So, so important. You have to have self-respect. And the theme of, like, self-love keeps popping up. And I mention this a lot in a lot of my shows. It's just how, I don't know, I don't really like the phrase self-love. It's very open-ended, and it starts to open the doorway for, like, narcissism, right? Like, thinking you're better than somebody else. Or people who are so full of themselves that they create this competitive environment, or, like, again, when it comes to sourcing energy, if it's all through the ego, then of course there's going to be this divisive nature, or this level of one versus the other, or the hierarchy. It doesn't need to be that way. It is, because we've conditioned ourselves collectively and socially to do so. But it doesn't have to be that way. Can't believe all this time has gone by. Gosh, time is just flying. Maybe we got, like, one more minute here before we get to go on break too. But yeah, I mean, just flying by. I wonder if other people are feeling that too, or if, like, COVID stuff has kind of slowed things down for other people. So who knows? I don't know. Or just, like, the perceptions, right? Like, the perceptions somebody sees you running around with the kiddo, or they see you doing all these other things, they assume that you don't work. I feel like I work my butt off. You know, you run your own business from home. There's a lot of things that people don't see. So I think people, like, I don't know, I gotta just check their assumptions. I gotta check my assumptions all the time. But I find that, and checking myself, that, you know, then we get into self-doubt and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And if you're doubting yourself, then are you really respecting yourself, right? If you aren't in touch with your own intuition and your own boundaries, because there's a big one. There's a big topic, too, when it comes to jealousy and the female competition and all of that, is boundaries. Know your energetic boundaries. They say like attracts like. So, I don't know, be aware of that part. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Sonali. One of, like, the toughest lessons that I've learned in my life. And I've even had an ex say at the end of a really crappy relationship, you know? Don't ever get into another relationship until you love yourself. There's so much truth to that. You don't love yourself. Anyway, take care.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio. It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to Cultivating Consciousness. I'm your hostess, Kelsey Sweet, here on Revolution Radio Studio A. Hey, hey. And if you're just joining, or if you're just kind of paying attention, I'm discussing women's energy. This is week five of the women's energy discussion, and the focus loosely centered on jealousy and female competition, and why. And I think during this brief break, I had a thought of like, why are you jealous? Why are you jealous? Because somebody has something you don't, that comes out of a material plane of existence. And if your awareness of self and your self-worth is based on the material form, then you're not coming from God, from Source, from higher purpose, from higher self, from the crown, right? You're not coming from the collective conscious. The energy that you're pulling from, it's recycled. It's recycled nonsense of just this stuff that has been put into the world throughout the history of time, right? Just pulling out all these old things and whatever, and just regurgitating in all these other ideas. And energetically, all of those things are so tied to everything else, like a domino effect, right? Like you just push one little thing and the whole chain is exposed. It's a behavioral chain pattern. But if you're channeling, right, or if you're sourcing your ideas from a source consciousness or from Christ consciousness or from the collective morphic resonance field, right, then up there in that ethereal space are new ideas, things that are intangible, right, things that belong to us all. So there is no reason to compete or to be jealous, because we can all tap into the same source of knowledge and ideas, right? So, yeah. Who likes jealous people? Not me. I don't either, Sonali. I don't like jealous people either. And I think it's because jealous people don't like themselves. There's not that self-love. There's not that self-respect. Right? Because I think if you had that self-awareness or that level of self-awareness, then there would be no reason to want to compete or to want to take from somebody else. It's an idea of wanting to live to your best self, wanting to reach your full potential, wanting to just do your best for the sake of doing good for all. There's a lot of humility that goes into that as well. Right? A lot of vulnerability that goes into that as well. Because anytime we bring something new into the masses, right, that new thing, it stands out. And people are going to want to test it, right? They're going to find out if it's either good or bad more often than not. It's perceived as bad. It's perceived as something new, a threat to the system that already exists. And when we're attached to things being a certain way, whether it be ideas or material things, or attached to the way people perceive us, right? Like, we lose it. I mean, disconnect from the bigger purpose, from something greater, right? Like we get caught up in the Matrix and the games, and what's the movie that I'm thinking of? Where I wanna like say it's like the War Games or whatever. I can't even, like, the main character, her name's Kat. It's 4:00 in the morning for me, so bear with me. The Hunger Games, right? Where we're pulled, when we get into jealousy, when we get into this competitive mode, right, then we're pulled from the real world, and then when we're put into this alternative reality, like a video game, where we're pitted against each other and divided. And oftentimes it's through no fault of our own. It comes through social conditioning, right? Like, we are who we are because of who everyone is, because of our history as humanity, right? That has all led up to these points. Like, people don't just poof and pop out of nowhere as these, like, raw, clean slates, right? People are born into families carrying genetic history, carrying genetic traumas. So when we're talking about doing work to heal the self, right, once you get through your primary psychology or your primary psyche and you start breaking down those elements, then you start working through your own family patterns and healing family traumas and things like that and going way, way back. And then on an energetic level, we can do those things, right? Like, if we can conceptualize our existence beyond the material, physical meat suit, right? Like, if we can look beyond the physical form into the energetics and the reasons behind a person or behind things, right? Then we can begin to empathize and understand, again, the chain of events and the patterns that have led up to this person being who they are in the place that they are. And I think we all do have our own purpose. We all show up for certain and specific reasons. And if we begin to listen to that, and we step into our own power, right, then if other people can't do that, or if they don't know the tools, or if they're taught or conditioned to think otherwise, then of course there's this, like, envy or jealousy, or there's this perception that somebody has something that somebody doesn't have, and it just cycles into no solutions, right? Like, it just generates and creates more problems or perpetuates problems. Like, the analogy comes to mind where I guess take a deep breath, ground, center myself, focus, so I don't pull myself off topic, not being present, right? So the analogy of the dog carrying a stake, there's a story, right? There's this dog, he's walking along in the woods, and he's got this giant piece of meat in his mouth, and he's so proud, and he comes across this lake, and he looks into the water, but he doesn't know it's a lake, right? He just sees a reflection of this other dog, and he sees this other dog carrying this really big steak. He's like, oh, I want that big steak. Ah, and then ends up dropping his steak into the water, right? And then trying to get the reflection. And then in it, loses everything, right? I've always thought that brings a really interesting picture to mind when it comes to competition and when it comes to jealousy, because we forget what we have, especially as women, right? We forget about our own assets. We forget about the value in our own self. And we try to look outside of ourselves to try to have something that somebody else has, right? Like, as a woman, I'm pretty petite. Like, I'm pretty scrawny. I'm a skinny girl. Like, I like to eat. I really, really wish I could have a big booty, right? But it's just not in my makeup, so I have to accept that, you know? But I see a lot of women who are thick, you know, who are like, on the bigger side, you know, fat women. And they're just like, oh, I want to be skinnier. I want all these things. And it's just like, well, from my perspective, no, you don't, right? Like, we always think the grass is greener on the other side, and it's just, it's a personal preference. Some people like this kind of a person, and some people like that kind of a person, and you have to Stand in your light, stand in your power, own your own self in confidence, and like attracts like. So when it comes to the idea of, like, marriage or lovers or other people or, you know, your other half or your whatever you want to call it, relationships in that regard, like, yeah, if you don't love yourself, if you don't know yourself, if you're not standing in your own power and you're attracting people to you, then you're creating dependency or you're creating this expectation that somebody else is going to do something for you. Or has to fill in this other hole, or like you create this, the expectations that other people are supposed to fulfill a role because you can't fulfill it yourself. So if you're self-fulfilled, you know, then you don't need somebody else. You don't need that other person or the opposite sex to do the things necessarily that you can't do if you can honor both sides of it within yourself. I don't know. It's a personal preference, cultural preference, maybe. Beats me. Beats me. But try being a woman in your early 30s and never being married. See how people treat you for what they think of me, right? They think there's like this incompetence or there's like something wrong with you because you don't have somebody else there, right? Or like the expectations between men and women are very different, where it's more acceptable that a man would never be, but not a woman, or like, right? Like we have all these like very subconscious underlying beliefs that help to shape us. And I think we forget that, especially when it comes to jealousy or when it comes to competition, like a lot of it is so subconscious. Unconscious, really. Because what is it like? And I mentioned this before. I probably mentioned this 1,000 times in the context of my professional life, right? Where, like, 95% of our behavior is unconscious. It's programmed. So there's, like, this little 5% window of consciousness where we're actually aware of what it is that we're doing, right? The rest of it's all pre-programmed. It's biological, it's behavioral, you know, it's biochemical, hormonal, whatever you want to call it. So when it comes to cultivating consciousness, like if we can just shift our awareness ever so slightly to that, perhaps we can help to dissolve some of that, like some of that jealous energy or some of that energy where we feel incomplete in ourselves and have to look outside of ourselves to fill in the holes and fill in the gaps. So, yeah, I'm just gonna kind of like go back to the chat room here a little and kind of scan through. Yeah, expectations. Let's see. I'm kind of here with you, Suri. Sorry, I guess this is for future broadcasts. Reading through these conversations, right? Like, I have like the same thing where a lot of men who show interest in me turn out to be cold, manipulative arseholes, for sure. I'm not quite sure what all that's about. But I think there's just a lot of pain body and a lot of pain body out there. Or I hear from a lot of men too, where it's like, well, women are blah, 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 blah. Like anytime I'm like, well, you know, man, whatever, they always do this thing where they flip it back around, right? Well, women, blah, 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 blah. Or they try to like victimize themselves in the context of it. Or we start getting into the ideas of like male privilege, toxic masculinity, male fragility, those kind of things. And man, there are just some people out there that are very emotionally reactive to those terms, where they take it again like as an attack to personal character, or like people have like these really strong attachments into and to their ideas. Like, we're really attached to ourselves and our world. And but I think there's a survival element to that, right? Like, if we're consciously, if we're constantly changing our minds, it's difficult to get a lot done, right? And you kind of turn out like me, or like your energy is kind of scattered all over the place. Or maybe I can blame it on astrology or something like that. I'm a Taurus. I'm a Taurus on the cusp of Gemini, like right there on the cusp. And so as a personality profiling way of understanding the self, right? Taurus is, have a difficult time making up their mind, right? Like, they like to weigh out all the options and, like, really, really think things through, because once we make up our minds, I mean, that's it. My mind's made up. There's been a lot of thought put into it. There's been a lot of, like, effort into being very conscious or conscientious of how different scenarios and things could play out. So, like, if the plane's crashing, you know, if you're a parent and you've got a small child, as the flight attendant will tell you, if the plane's crashing, you put the air mask on you first. We don't have a small child, right? And you're, like, one of those very helpful people who likes to put themselves aside to assist other people. Like, if you don't have an air mask on you, you're very limited in the amount of people that you can reach and that you can save, that you can connect with. So, I don't know. It's challenging. It's really, really challenging. But, you know, being on the receiving end of jealousy is no fun. It makes people manipulative, right? Devious, or when people are coming from a mindset of lack or wanting or entitlement to something that somebody else has, or feeling like they should have something that's not, like, it just makes people do things that aren't very nice, right? And I'm a firm believer that you should treat people the way that you want to be treated, with unconditional love and with the utmost respect at all times. That's one of the hardest things to do in the face of somebody who's coming at you or attacking you or being jealous of you or trying to compete with you in some sort of way. Like, because there are people out there who will really do anything and everything that they can to try to get a rise out of you, or to try to get you to drop the ball. You know? And there are people that have gone to incredibly extreme measures to try and destroy the lives of others, all because they have something that somebody else doesn't want. Look at all the wars that we've had throughout the history of time. I don't know why the Romans are popping into my mind, but I just see, like, all these Romans and their chariots going to all these other lands and going to all these other communities and to take over everything, right? To take it all. Or even if we look at America, you know, America trying to take over, like, what are the, I don't even think it's that. Because we're learning in these day and ages that, or at least becoming more globally aware of the underlying 1% or the underlying bodies that direct or manipulate and control the political entities of the countries around the world. So, I mean, right off the bat, things are not what they seem to be, right? Like, there's this facade and this wall that we're interacting with other people with, and if we're interacting facade to facade, we're perpetuating these games and we're playing into the system of, you know, corporate materialism. you know, always feeling like you need to have the next best thing, or like just not being content and happy enough with what you have. And as somebody who has sacrificed the comforts of the rich older husband who can take care of all the things for me just so I can focus solely on my art and my education, like, I don't know. That's what I have to say to that. I'm going to take a drink of water. Kind of cool this down and recenter and ground myself here too. Thank you, Revolution Radio. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, all the supporters and the people out there for holding space and for being open to listening to these conversations and engaging with me with this, because I think a lot of this is important. And I just, I don't know, my heart goes out to people who have it all and want more. You know, like, because there's just certain people out there where nothing is ever enough. There always needs to be more, 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 more. For control, for domination, I gotta have it all. I gotta be the best. I've gotta be the one on top. You know, people have to perceive me a certain way in order for me to feel good about myself. And if your self-worth is based on what other people perceive of you, well, then that gets difficult, because then are you coming from God's source and higher consciousness? Or, you know, are you like Jesus or are you like Judas? You know, are you willing to betray and undermine somebody else's life in order just to have something maybe that you didn't have, or just so the other person can't have it? Like, what sort of pain and torture did that person go through to have to inflict that sort of energy onto somebody else? And I wonder that when it comes to perpetrators of sexual assault, or like rapists and things like that, or like child rapists, I even hate saying it out loud, like, what did these people endure in their lives that has warped their perception so much that they feel they need to gain and take the power away from other people on such a primal level, right? And it would be really easy just to forget about jealousy or to not react and respond to it if it weren't a threat to your own life, right? Because I think when that's where, like, the boundaries have to come in, and the defense mechanisms come into play, and we have to be really strong and secure in ourselves, especially when it comes to defending ourselves and defending ourselves to other people, right? Because this is where things get really, really complicated and where the dynamics get really blown out of proportion, right? Because if somebody is jealous of another person and they take action on that other person, it can have detrimental effects to their lives. And it's one thing just to like brush it off or to pretend like it's not there, to whatever, but I think there's something important to calling it out when you see it, right? Because it is, it's their own problem, and to not internalize somebody else's problems as your own problems, it's challenging. That's where confidence comes into play. It's where you have to be very certain and very secure in yourself, in your self-worth, in your love for life and living, right? And wanting to have a good life, to want to move forward. Entitlement comes to mind, or like deserve. The word deserve comes to mind. Like, I deserve to have the best. Okay, well, that's kind of open, right? Is there, like, entitlement there? Like, what do you mean you deserve? Yeah, we all have a right to life. We have a right to happiness, health, holiness, happy, healthy, holy. We have a right to be loved and to love. And when somebody defiles that love or tries to take that love away in some sort of way, or they act in a way, in a malicious way, and call that love, right? It gets really tricky. It gets really challenging. I had opened an article, I think last night, just shortly before bed. I didn't get all the way through it, and I wish I would have. Maybe I can find it again. But it goes into, like, the 7 different types of love. All these, like, different ideas of what love is. And how we love things. And yes, we need to promote global love. Love, 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 right? All we need is love. But we also need strong boundaries. We need respect. Right? Like, Americans have done this really stupid thing with the word love, and they've diluted it to where, like, we love everything, we love everybody, but, you know, kill the rapists. Well, how are you going to preach love while talking about inflicting harm onto somebody else because that person has inflicted harm on them? And as a survivor of sexual assault, as a survivor of rape, one of them, I don't know that it was challenging for me. It came very natural for me to have compassion for the person who inflicted the harm on me. Right? To not want to take away another person's life, but to want to find the means to seek justice and heal, right? Because you can, like, punishment, as a behavioral psychologist, like, punishment doesn't really work to an extent. Like, if punishment is full force first time, sure. But if it's not, then you create more deviousness. You create more devious behavior. So we get, especially now, very, very subtle levels of abuse through jealousy. Very, very subtle levels of jealousy. Very subtle levels of competition that have profound impacts on one another. And especially women, like women undermining other women because they think another guy, like, because they think a guy is attractive or something like that, just to find out that that guy has no respect for women in general. Right? But just for sex. Seems like it's all motivated by sex. Sex, sex, I could say sex, sex, sex. Right? And it takes the spirituality out of it. It becomes about fulfilling a physical need. It's addictive personality stuff. It's, you know, looking for escapism. It's looking to feel good in the moment. It's just pleasure seeking. And it completely misses the point of the divine connection. It misses the co-creative potential to make something collectively, consciously, that has a profound impact on the world, right? Instead of things just happening by accident or just serendipitously, because we understand now what behavioral patterns are, we know chains of of behavior. We have enough resources at our fingertips and a great enough understanding of global history where we should be able to create solutions and new solutions to create a new future for ourselves, right, as a whole, without having to repeat a lot of these same toxic cycles that we've been repeating for centuries, right? If we can put the ego aside, if we can put these old ideologies aside and go, wait a minute, how do we educate and heal for the greatest good of all? How do we heal people? Hurt people hurt people, right? And if somebody is hurting you, it's probably because they're hurt. And one of our initial reactions is want to hurt back, and then we're just fighting. That gets us nowhere, you know? So if somebody is hurting you and you can consciously respond in a healing way with healthy boundaries, right? Like, that doesn't mean to tolerate it. It doesn't mean that it's okay or acceptable, right, for somebody to compete with you or to be jealous of you or whatever. Because, like, these are natural. They're natural feelings. They're a part of the natural human condition. Like narcissism, right? Like, at some point or another, we all have the capability of displaying narcissistic tendencies. We all have the possibilities to be sad, to be angry, to be elated. Whatever the emotional spectrum can be, right? Oh, hang on. We gotta take a mommy break here. Bear with me. Back to real life for a second. Hold on. Come with me. Okay. We're going to go here. See? Again. Mommy duties first. Good, good, good. Okay. Cool. Your pillow. It's down here. Welcome to my Real World Revolution Radio. Okay. There we go. Okay, we'll shift into here. There you go. I got just a little bit left, buddy. My co-host is awake. Kind of. He's a good little co-host. There we go. Whoop. Okay. But there we go. So, if we don't want to be jealous people, if we don't want to be competitive people, how then do we make conscientious decisions to be better people, right? How do we take accountability for our actions, to be humble, to recognize our mistakes, to acknowledge where growth is happening and can happen, right? How do we get to a point within ourselves where we can look at the people outside of us and be inspired, right? Be inspired to want to do better. Be inspired to want to innovate, right? We have this programming within us, or maybe even jealous people, right, where they think that they can't or won't, or there's a self-limiting belief in there somewhere. And if they can't, then they'll project that onto somebody else, so somebody else can't either. Or, like, again, it just gets into this world of misunderstanding. I don't get it. I really don't. I think we should live and let live, you know? Allow people to be themselves, allow people to work through their stuff, and to hold space for people to get through those things. Right? Jealousy's complex. It affects us all, right? Let's see. I pulled up an article from Psychology Today, about jealousy. I posted it on my Facebook page too, and generated a little conversation out of this. And let's see. Okay, so according to PsychologyToday.com, right, jealousy is a complex emotion that encompasses feelings ranging from suspicion to rage to fear to humiliation, right? Gets people of all ages, genders, sexual orientations, but most typically aroused when a person perceives a threat to a valued relationship from a third party, right? So the threat may be real or imagined, but it's perceived. It's a perceived threat. You know, often it comes up in the context of romantic relationships, and there's probably survival logic behind that, right? Like, especially when it comes to preserving a family or to, like, preserving certain dynamics, you know, the certain expectations of whose energy belongs to whom, sort of a thing, or, like, it gets into this realm of possessiveness, right? Where, like, ownership. I think this is why I have a really big problem with marriage, is because the history of marriage, depending on the culture, right, is somewhat founded on this ownership basis, right? Like, people, for the longest time, in many cultures, didn't get married out of love, right? They got married out of economic value, to own or possess a woman, or to have access and resources to her father's land, wealth, cattle, or livestock, whatever it might be, you know. So, I think as we move forward right into, like, more modern or, like, contemporary relationships, we've kind of disconnected maybe from the conscious awareness that there's that, like, possessive ownership dynamic that perpetuates and feeds into the idea of jealousy. You know, so then we start to think, well, like, you know, how do we innovate within the context of relationships? And then we can look to polyamorous relationships or open relationships. Somebody through the Facebook comments or whatever had mentioned something about swingers, right? Of where, when it comes to something like sexuality, there's an openness in sharing that with others. Now, from a shamanic perspective, from an energetic perspective, that's where things start to get energetically complex, right? Because then, like, in these intimate settings, when you're connecting with people in a sexual way, in that sort of way, then you're taking on their energy. Whereas a woman, there's that chimeric effect where you're taking on the DNA, or you're taking on these traits and attributes of the other partner. You know, and if you're a woman and you're taking on all of these different partners and all of their partners and their partners' partners and their partners' 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 partners, right? Like, energetically, you're absorbing all of that into your being. And if you're not conscious of that, then all that other energy, all those other beings, all that other stuff is driving your motives, right? It's driving your behavior. And it just gets messy, right? Not to mention, like, the rates of being exposed, or, like, increasing your rates of being exposed to sexually transmitted diseases, or even not sexually transmitted diseases, you know, just diseases in general, or germs, and so on and so forth. Taking on another person's grief, like, that's a lot to carry. So when we're talking about jealousy and wanting to take the energy from somebody else, right? I don't know. It's challenging. Because if we look here through, like, Psychology Today, right? It says that jealousy is seen as a necessary emotion because it perverts. Because it preserves social bonds and motivates people to engage in behaviors that maintain important relationships. Motivates people to engage in behaviors that maintain important relationships. Well, yeah, it motivates people to be manipulative, you know? It motivates people to use intimidation and fear in order to control another person. So if that means maintaining an important relationship, well, what is the importance of that relationship and why is there such an attachment to maintaining it? Why is there not an openness to allowing that relationship to grow and organically develop into something new? No? I don't know. Like, I think it's funny here too, or just like what people are jealous of and why, and what, like, how the sexes perceive jealousy. You know, Psychology Today will tell you that men are more jealous in the context of, like, infidelity, right? Or, like, physical, sexual infidelity. There's more jealousy in that regard, right? Like, oh, is his bigger than mine? Is he better than me? And, you know, does he look, like, what is he, you know, what is his looks versus mine sort of a thing? Whereas with women, you know, this, again, according to Psychology Today, women tend to feel more jealous about emotional infidelity, right? Like, you don't necessarily even have to sleep with somebody else or to, like, have that sort of interaction, right? But, like, if your energy and your focus is going into emotionally supporting somebody else, right, and it's neglecting the emotional needs of somebody else, well, yeah, then of course somebody could be jealous, right? Or that feeling would create a chain or create a chain of action, right? And this is where, again, consciousness comes into play. So if you're experiencing jealousy within yourself, what is your go-to? If you're jealous that somebody is talking to somebody else or if there's this whatever, then are you going to go into this rage and physical aggression and to want to fight? Or are you going to walk away? Are you going to make other choices of either confrontation or of just acknowledging to the other person that, hey, this isn't all right, and it's not within my energetic boundaries, it's not something that I value or want in my life, and then so, you know, therefore, done. So it's tricky, I don't know. But research shows that jealousy comes from things like low self-esteem, high neuroticism, you know, again, with, possession. Fear of abandonment, they say, is also a key motivator, right? So if you're not secure enough within yourself and you're really dependent on other people to feed into your ego or your sense of self, right? Like if you don't know who you are without the people around you in your life, of course you'd be more likely to be jealous, right? To maintain a certain sense of social status or whatever that is. So, I don't know, it's tricky. But I don't know, animals feel it too. Some animals feel it too, the wanting of something else. So it's tricky. Okay, we've got about 10 more minutes here together this morning. And time is just flying by. Flying by. Let me try to focus on, like, some of the more important facts here. my little one, he's like, let's go back to bed. I want to go back to bed too. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I get off of this. I'm going to shut this down, take a big drink of water, and curl back up and see if I can get another, like, 2-3 hours worth of sleep. Sleep is so important. If we're not sleeping, if we're not well rested, if we're not eating right and drinking water, right? Like, if we're not taking care of our base level needs, then we leave ourselves emotionally susceptible to feelings like jealousy, right? Like, if we're not meeting our own basic needs, then we're going to be looking for those needs from somewhere else. And if we can't meet those needs within ourselves, right, then we're going to be looking to other people to fulfill those needs for us. And if there's anything that I learned from being a single child of a single mom, of an only child of a single mom, right, or being a single mom with an only child, is that, man, like, I'm grateful for the way that I was raised. And I think my parents, or like my dad especially, I think has a lot of emotion or guilt in terms of not physically being present, you know, or maybe my mom has guilt in terms of like not being emotionally present. But what I'm so grateful for that is that it has taught me to rely on myself and to depend on myself and to feed and nurture my own soul, right? To give myself validation, to not look outside of myself for fulfillment. Most of my life I've spent alone, a loner, you know, and that's not just because, you know, I grew up with a single mom as an only child. I mean, there's a lot of people like that who are nothing like me, have completely different experiences. You know, this is solely my own personal experience. And so I spent a lot of time by myself in my own space, reflecting on self in life, creating in art, understanding and trying to process and learn about the human experience through the creative process. And this very, how do I want to put it, self-evaluating way, right, where I've done everything I can to be so self-aware, to just, like, be mindful of, like, the behavior chains inside and out, to understand and address those patterns and those behavioral patterns, so that when the emotional body starts to become reactive and responsive, right, the logical brain can come into play and begin to navigate the balance in terms of how to show up in regards to social interactions. So, like, basically, how to be nice, right? How to be loving, how to be accepting, how to be a doormat. That's the part that I've had to overcome over the years, especially. It's learning how to not completely undermine myself by allowing other people to take over those roles. And so getting to this place of self-acceptance, or of wanting to stand in my own power, right? To shine and be the biggest light in the face of jealousy, in the face of all this other stuff. That's a big one. It's a big one, and I hope other people can find ways to step into their own power, into their own light, into, I don't know, like, take their power back. The shift will happen, though, because when you begin to change your perspective, right, and when you begin to drop those possessive dialogues and those behaviors and those patterns, you'll notice the world around you will start to shift. Right? People will start interacting with you in different ways. And I think, especially for myself, the trickiest thing is being aware enough and mindful enough of those values and those boundaries that where there's a no tolerance level, right? Where if you don't fit the grade or if you don't whatever, like you're not going to permeate through the cell wall, right? You're not going to get through the wall unless you fit in the right way or unless you, like, match the energetic frequency. Like attracts like, you know? And if you're a jealous person, you're going to attract more of that energy. Or if you're surrounded by people who are jealous, put yourself in a new environment. Put yourself in an environment where the frequencies are higher, where you have something to ascend yourself to or elevate yourself to. Always grow. Always learn. But yeah. It's tricky, you know? We do what we can. I think maybe my last little bit here. Let me see if I can, like, through all of this too, if I can remember another analogy, because I've been thinking a lot other, like, when it comes to the emotional body, right, of, like, cups. And we have this idea, especially in relationships, of, like, I need to find my other half. If you're half full or half empty, but if you're only half of a thing, right, then you're still placing the expectation or the demand on another person to fulfill that other half of yourself. But if you show up as a full cup, right, like, then there's more, then you're not putting that expectation on other people to have to give you something or to have to fulfill you in some sort of way, or you're not feeling empty, like you need to put something else in. And I'm trying to think of how this saying was put to me. I was told it's a Japanese saying along the lines of, like, you should never necessarily keep your cup full, but, like, to pour off a little bit of the top, or, like, if your teacup's full, you can't put more tea in it, right? So you can't learn. If your teacup is already full, then you can't learn. So it's important every once in a while to take a sip off the top, right, to leave room for growth, to leave room for more understanding, that sort of a thing. But to have to put the expectation on somebody else that they have to fulfill or give something to you, it's only gonna perpetuate the competition and the jealousy, right? It creates this perception of lack, or there's not enough of, or, like, we can't share, or whatever, you know, people get goofy. They get super goofy and all of that. Alright, well, so it's our last 2 minutes here before I jump off the radio. I'm Kelsey Sweet. You can find me on kelseysweet.com. Through there, you can find various projects that I've got. If you feel like sponsoring me, if you feel like donating to me, if you feel like getting an intuitive reading or something, or connecting with me in terms of coaching in any sort of way, let me know. Please reach out. I'm very open to taking on new stuff at the moment, and I'm playing around with ideas when it comes to like coaching, training, the transformative aspect. So, I don't know. You want to jump in there? Great. Support Revolution Radio. Donate. We're based off your love here. We do this out of love for radio, love for information, love for truth. To go to Revolution Radio, donate to us if you can. We've got a Patreon page you can contribute to. That way, if you would like, you can send in checks if you like. I don't know. You can, I don't know, go to the website. Figure it out. I'm tired. I'm going to go home. No, just kidding. I'm already home. I never leave home anymore, it seems. Just kidding. Home is where the heart is. My heart's with love. My heart's with you. My heart's with the collective. My heart's with creativity. my motive, my motion here is co-creating conscious creative communities, doing so however I can. And in this transient phase that I'm in this transition, I'm looking forward to going into my second year of radio and getting a new intro up. It's in the works. My friend contacted me today and said hopefully next week he'll get on it, and it's all in divine timing, right? It's all going to happen when it's meant to happen, and I'm allowing and giving myself the permission to not have to be perfect, right? To just show up, to show up authentically, to show up as I am, and to hold truth and to be strong in my own truth, right? And so hopefully, within that, we can figure out how to work together. Check your jealousy, check your competition, check your female energy, give somebody a hug. Let me see you next week. We'll have you tomorrow. Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.